This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about Chris O'Brien. He's on his way, as we speak, to something called the Utah Fest. And that's another event that we'll hear about probably next week. And maybe we'll have a guest or two from there. So we'll see what happens. All right, so we have a fascinating episode today because we're going to talk again about that book, UFOs Reframing the Debate. And so far we've had on several of the contributors. We've had the editor, Robbie Graham. We've had Greg Bishop, one of the contributors. We've had another contributor on after the Paracast last week. So if you haven't joined Paracast Plus, this is a reason. Red Pill Junkie. And he's just terrific. And this week we've got someone who hasn't been on the show for a while, and we'll talk to him about that in a moment. Kirk Collins, who also contributed to the book, and a bit later, MJ Benias, more of a philosophical bent, and he's new to the show, and we're really anxious to talk to him and get his point of view. But right now, let me welcome back as our guest co-host, Kirk Collins. And Kurt, I know you try every so often to leave the UFO field, but we keep dragging you back in.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I guess it gets in your blood, and there's even if you get sick of the topic or the politics or the squabbles, there's also a lot of positive social interaction. And if that for no other reason, well, we'll kind of keep you interested, and you want to know what your friends are up to.
Well, there have been a few things happening in the UFO field, for good or bad, and I wanted to bring up a couple of them. Particularly since you were a member of the Roswell Slide Study Group, this group of skeptics, believers, and those in the middle who looked at the Roswell slides and decided pretty quickly it was just a mummy, folks. I think I felt when I saw the pictures, what is this? They're saying it's... We have also mentioned the fact that Don Schmidt has another Roswell book, 70 Years of the Roswell Cover-Up or something, which we will not discuss on the show. The publicist for his publisher has said, would you like to do this? And I said, no. So she recommended another book coming out from Kevin Randall. He's going to do a new book coming out soon on the Sicaro, New Mexico case.
Oh, that's interesting. One thing is that it's interesting that Don Schmidt is writing a solo book instead of the Partner Act. But the Socorro case for Kevin Randall is interesting, but I've read a little bit about what he's written on that, and it is certainly, it's a landmark case. I think a lot of people think that it had to do with persuading that Dr. J. Allen Hynek from Blue Book that maybe there was something physical or genuine to this, and these weren't all mirages.
I thought the Michigan case was one that cemented that opinion, because he came out with this stuff about swamp gas. And he knew he was just bluffing. He had to say something. And I think that and a few other factors, and probably Sicaro was one of them, caused him to realize there was a lot more to it. But I know I interviewed Dr. Hynek a couple of times, and I liked him. And I think he was really intellectually honest about where it went. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to any new viewpoints that Kevin might have. It would be really interesting, then, if we brought him on, and then maybe Ray Stanford. I just wonder how that's going to work.
Ray can be an unpredictable guy, I've heard, so that could be interesting.
Could be oil and water.
Very much.
So what is Kevin coming up with? You said you're aware of it.
Well, I'm just seeing that he's looked back over some classic cases. Certainly Sicaro is one that caught his eye. Leveland, Texas is another one. And his latest blog entry, he mentioned that there were new developments in MJ-12, if you can believe that. It seems like some of the UFO developments are reruns from the 80s, but I don't know how MJ-12 can be of any importance now, but here it is again.
I didn't know whether to laugh or cry when I read this. Kevin has this blog, A Different Perspective, folks. So just look up Kevin D. Randall online. I don't have to give you the address. You'll find it. And he's always has fascinating stuff because he just continues going on. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going on and on. And evidently, he's going to debate Stephen Bassett about the alleged reliability or authenticity of these new MJ-12 documents. I understand that Kevin didn't even believe in the original ones and has said so and has said why. We expect that Stephen Bassett, who's not very skeptical, probably believes them, so it should be a fascinating debate, except do we really care anymore? Why do we even bother with that?
Did you get a chance to look at the what the documents contain?
I have not looked at it. I just don't know whether I really want to or not.
I don't think you do. Briefly, there's three sections to it. There's kind of an introduction. Then there's a recap of the Roswell case, which apparently contains mistakes. And then the next thing it moves on to is the Aztec New Mexico case, discussed as if it's real. And, you know, that's one of the biggest hoaxes ever. I mean, it was influential, but, you know, there was nothing to it. There are a few people that hang on to it, the Ramseys, and I think even Stan Friedman supports it. But, you know, it's still, you know, it was pulled out of the garbage heap. Then there's another section, and this is the one that's more sensational, an interview with an EBE.
Wait a minute. Is it really worth our time? Let me tell you. With Aztec, we've been skeptical. We had Scott Ramsey on the show a few times, Frank Warren, who lives around that area, and he seemed to be in favor of it, and he was seemed to be sponsoring Scott. Now, the thing is here, I didn't believe it, and then we had on after the PowerCast, another reason for you to subscribe, folks, we had Monty Shriver, who's a retired accountant engineer or something, and he came up with a one-year project where he investigated the case. And he said there's nothing to it. He grew up in Aztec, New Mexico, and doesn't remember anything. He went to his class reunion, and nobody remembered. This is something that happened when he was, I don't know, 12 years old or 13 years old. Nobody had a memory of it. The newspaper publisher mentioned nothing about it. It didn't exist prior to Frank Scully's book. All right? That's the big problem with Aztec. So these MJ-12 documents, if they were real, forgetting the EBE interview, allegedly, that's sufficient to say, no, this thing can't be possible. It's a fake. That's why I don't know if we'll even mention it. Maybe next time Kevin is on to talk about the Sicaro book, I'll mention it to him. I keep thinking, should I have Stephen Bassett on to explain why he keeps saying there's going to be disclosure, and it never happens. But then he's just replaying the old game from Major Donald Keough. In the 50s and 60s, Keough seemed to feel that he would help bring out the truth about UFOs. He would stop the silence group in its tracks. He failed. Stephen Bassett continues to fail. So how often does he say the same thing before we give up on it?
Well, the key difference between Major Keough was that he was pursuing investigation, and he felt that there was a cover-up. But Stephen Bassett is taking an exponential jump, and that there are treaties, the government has knowledge, specific knowledge and interaction, and, you know, that's the disclosure he wants to force. He's not saying, we need to look into this. He's saying, tell us. Tell us about the aliens. And, you know, some people don't believe there's much to be said about that. You know, we'd love to see more documents, but, you know, this is a blood out of the stone type question, and it may not be anything there.
And you see, that's the difference, I agree with you, with Keough. Keough was saying, yes, they were spaceships, but he didn't go into these elaborate conspiracies about government collusion with E.T. and all that. You know, his approach was more sensible. He was a retired Marine Corps major. So whatever you think about his approach, we're sensible. Bassett takes it thousands and thousands of levels beyond that. We're talking about UFOs, reframing the debate again. MJ Banias will join us in a few moments. Chris O'Brien's on special assignment with Gene and Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hi, my name is Lee, and for 10 years I've suffered from ulcerative colitis. I've taken prednisone, ibuprofen, and many other prescription drugs and never saw any improvement. I tried salmon oils and flaxseed oils, but only burped them up, and they did not seem to help. Then I learned from an acquaintance who healed her rheumatoid arthritis by using Andreas seed oils. I was so inspired to try them. I began taking Andreas flaxseed, 5-seed blend, black cumin, and coriander seed oil. In 5 months, the swelling in my hands was so reduced, I was able to see my knuckles for the first time in 5 years. I've been off all medications for 13 months, and by using only Andreas seed oils, my colitis is controlled, and the arthritis pain in my knees is also reduced, and my inflammation is zero, and so many other benefits.
A patent-pending process has been developed which results in seed oils that have virtually zero oxidation and are structurally intact. Now, the full healing power of seed oils is available to you via the Andreas seed oils. Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With the ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
For P150, P150 GA, P150 NY, P150 OK, P150 TN, C250 A, C250 E, C250 Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-656-9775. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-656-9775. That's 1-800-656-9775. 1-800-656-9775.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Kurt Collins is our guest co-host, and he'll also be on After the Paracast. Chris O'Brien is at the Utah Fest, and we'll hear about that next week. We welcome to the Paracast MJ Banias. He's another contributor to that book, UFOs Reframing the Debate. And he'll join us in just a moment. But I want to tell you first about After the Paracast, our premium podcast. Now, After the Paracast is one of those unpredictable things. We might just be talking about stuff. We might have exclusive guests. It's all a mixed bag, but it's fascinating always. You can only hear it if you join the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. That's P-L-U-S .theparacast.com. We give you simple sign-up instructions. It's basically joining the forums if you're not already there and upgrading your membership. We give you access to After the Paracast. We offer a commercial-free version of this show with better quality audio. We've got some videos and other stuff coming. And the subscription prices start at just $1.49 a week. It's the number one way to support the Paracast, plus.theparacast.com. So, MJ, really glad to have you on. And before we talk about your contribution to the book and a cultural thing I want to get details about, how did you get caught up in the UFO mess?
First, thanks very much for having me on. It's a real honor to be here. I'm a big fan, and this is, like it says, the gold standard of paranormal radio. So it's an honor for me to be on your show.
It's an honor for us to have you.
So, you know, for me, being involved in this sort of the madness that is the UFO field, I guess, you know, my story is pretty boring, actually. I grew up sort of loving watching, you know, the TV shows about, you know, aliens, and The Outer Limits was definitely a favorite of mine growing up. Not the 60s version, like the 90s reboot, I guess, or the 80s reboot. And, you know, it just kind of, my parents let me watch TV I probably shouldn't have been watching when I was young. And I fell in love with just the idea of, you know, aliens and UFOs. And I started reading all the sort of the magazines and the books about the subject. I remember my school library had one of those hardcover picture books, sort of one of those with, you know, photographs and stuff about sort of UFOs and aliens. So it was something that sort of was always around in my life, I guess, that I really enjoyed. And I have to be honest, I just sort of started, you know, hanging out with Chris Rakowski a little bit, you know, a mutual friend of ours. And I realized that, you know, I wanted to start contributing a little more to, I guess, the UFO question. Sort of, I had been doing a lot of research and study in the background, but never really said anything. And I had a lot of opinions about it. And it just sort of started falling in line. I became a field investigator for MUFON, which I recently sort of ended my relationship with MUFON only a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I'm still writing, and I'm just, I don't know, using my university education, putting it to good use, and obviously talking about UFOs and aliens, right? Because that's the best use for a university degree, that's for sure.
What is your university degree in?
I have a bachelor's degree in English, which focuses in critical theory. I have minored in history and philosophy. I also have a bachelor degree in education, as well as a post-baccalaureate diploma in critical theory. For those of you who don't know, critical theory is philosophy predominantly, but it's a cultural philosophy. It's not really metaphysics or epistemology. It's more about the philosophy of culture, of everyday sort of culture. That's critical theory, looking at sort of those systems. So, you know, a smattering of university degrees and nothing too serious. You know, I'm not a doctor or anything. It's definitely given me enough background that I can sort of do some writing. And definitely interested in pursuing some more university education sort of part-time. But, you know, I have a family now, so I have to put that first, obviously.
And you have to make a buck. Are you a teacher?
I am. Yeah, I'm an educator. Yeah, I teach English and history.
You see, I got that connection. Now, talking about culture, one of the things I've looked into, and I'm sure Kurt has as well, and we've explored in the Paracast, is not just case history so much as UFOs as a cultural phenomenon. How it either generates or reflects our culture. Have you considered that?
Yeah, oh, for sure. My blog, Terra Obscura, is basically sort of it's a cultural blog. I explore the UFO question from a cultural standpoint. So I personally, while I am interested in sort of obviously finding out the answer to the UFO riddle, I think, you know, a lot of us are, it's not my biggest interest. My biggest interest is how the UFO shapes our I guess, our perceptions of sort of outer space, how it shapes our perceptions of ourselves, how it shapes our perceptions of our government, how it shapes our perceptions of our position on this planet as sort of being the only quote-unquote intelligent species. You know, so I think the UFO question brings together a whole bunch of our cultural knowledge and a whole bunch of our cultural anxieties, and it lumps it into sort of a flying silver disc. And it's sort of beautiful because no one else is really studying it in this way. At least there's not many people who are studying it in this way. So I've really sort of found a nice niche in the cultural study of the UFO question.
So here's the point. Are we seeing what's really there? Or are we seeing the shiny silvery disc? Because right now our culture is steeped in sci-fi, and that's one of the images.
Right. And this is a sort of an age old UFO question, right? I mean, you know, Jacques Vallée would sort of posit this, right? He would say the image of the UFO has sort of shifted throughout history, right? He would say the image of the UFO, whatever we see, has shifted across culture. 1,000 years ago, people saw sort of fairies and angels and demons and sort of that sort of cultural kind of concept, these concepts of culture, these folkloric ideas. And, you know, as we progress into sort of, he talks about the airships in the 1800s, late 1800s, and then sort of the 1950s, obviously saw the flying saucers. In the 80s, you know, it was the black triangle was quite popular. You know, so yeah, I think we sort of do see this progression of what aliens look like and what UFOs look like. And it's definitely sort of shifting across time and culture, I think. So I don't know, you know, to answer your question, is it actually a shiny silver disc or is it actually a black triangle? You know, I don't know. But if you kind of look at the cases and as they progress through time, you know, people don't see flying saucers very much anymore. You know, we see other things now. And is that culture or is that just, you know, the aliens are for some reason changing their technology? I don't know. I can't speak for them.
Okay, this is really interesting. So we really have to look at this. What might be behind it? Now, anytime I think about UFOs having a shape or structure in a way that is different than what it really is, I think of the movie Contact.
Yeah.
Where Jodie Foster sees E.T. in the form of her late father because she could relate to it. And E.T. tells her, and it could be a dream, but comes to her and says, "You're seeing me this way because you will be better able to accept what I look like." Now, that has all sorts of different meanings. It could be maybe he's or it's visible in a way that we can't see, or the appearance would be so grotesque that we couldn't accept it. Or it's pure energy, like we saw in some of the Star Trek episodes. Or he's from the Q universe. We have MJ Benias and Kurt Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne. And cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
MJ Benias joining us on the Paracast. Kirk Collins is our guest co-host, exploring the reality of UFOs and what may lie behind the curtain. So, MJ, do you think there's a curtain? Or are we making it all up?
Yeah, I'm going to touch on a blog post I wrote. I believe it's called Involuntary Shapeshifters. And the blog post sort of asks this question that you're sort of, you're asking. I think there's a lot to be said for the idea that we create our own reality. We create our own image of reality, sort of what we understand as happening around us is interpreted by our brain, and our senses rather send signals to our brain, and then the brain kind of responds. And I did cite in my blog post the moment from Contact where she meets sort of this alien, and it's in the shape of her father, and it's this beach that she grew up on that she remembered as a child. And I think if we really look at a lot of the UFO cases out there, we look at sort of the anecdotes of alien contact, whether it's abduction or sort of like contact, not sort of violent abduction. The image of the alien, whatever it is, changes across time. It also changes depending on sort of what the experience is like. So we can chalk this up to one of two things. One, we can chalk this up to all of these different beings exist, and we sort of see this in the UFO sort of narrative, right? There's the greys and the insectoids and the reptilians and all the sort of wild assortment of all of these different creatures that are sort of all interacting with humanity. And they interact in different ways, and it's all this massive jumble of chaos. Or there's the other way, where we look at it as, you know, potentially there is something out there. There is some sort of other. However, our interpretation of it shifts based upon perhaps what we want to see, or perhaps on what we can understand, or perhaps on what sort of the creature wants, the other rather wants us to sort of interpret it as, I guess, whether it's going to be a violent experience or a peaceful experience or whatever. And ultimately, you know, when you kind of think about this, you know, both require a bit of a leap in belief, right? You know, there's no real evidence to support. Well, there is evidence, I suppose, but there's no sort of necessarily concrete evidence that we've all accepted as being 100% legitimate that this other exists. And I kind of like the idea leaning more to this concept that potentially there is some intelligence out there, and it simply adjusts itself to our interpretation of it. We build the reality for it. It exists in the reality we shape it, or we give it to exist in. Because it's I think it's one thing to potentially believe in one intelligent other, to believe that there's dozens of species all interacting with humanity simultaneously and they all have different agendas. You know, that gets a little hairy. At least
it means we're very popular out there in ET land.
Right? And then it's like, why? What do we have here, you know? What do they want from us? That was a joke. I really don't know.
I have a question for you about, you mentioned that you were a MUFON field investigator. Could you tell me a little bit about that experience?
Sure. What do you want to know?
Well, for one thing, I'm curious about how that contrasts with your philosophical approach, because you know, as I understand it, the field investigator manual is mostly about physical details.
Right.
And kind of to contrast it with your approach and how comfortable you were using it. And, if you could tell us some about the cases you investigated.
Sure. Yeah. You know, my time with MUFON was relatively short. I did it about 2 years, a little longer. You know, one thing I'll say is, as someone with a philosophy background, it's, you know, my entire university career is compartmentalizing portions of my brain so that I can have sort of multiple belief systems at once, and I don't really buy into anything. So you can call that wishy-washy or waffling, and it kind of is. So when you're sort of dealing with MUFON, and it's funny, right, because Kurt, you kind of made this interesting claim about MUFON, where the field investigator's manual is about collecting sort of hard data. You know, what did the UFO look like? What was the weather like that day? You know, the barometric pressure, you know, flight paths, assessing sort of the environment that the UFO event took place in, and then sort of assessing the witness in some way, because, you know, we're all volunteers and none of us have a psych background, but apparently we're qualified to assess a witness. So there's kind of that aspect, this sort of hard scientific field investigative portion. But then really, when you look at MUFON itself as an organization, it is nothing like the field investigator's manual. Fundamentally, it isn't. The MUFON as an organization has sort of legitimized every single aspect of UFO discourse. They've said, secret space program, no problem. We believe in that. Sort of, we buy every abduction story, you know, without question. And if you think it happened, it happened. You know, MUFON has kind of, I think, divided itself against itself. So, you know, for me, I don't think there's sort of something about MUFON that is kind of hard fact only. I think they've kind of thrown their lot in with sort of the rest of the UFO people out there, and they've bought into the ideology as much as sort of any other organization has, you know, insofar as MUFON claims that we are a scientific organization, you know, scientific-ish, I think would be more appropriate. But to talk about specific cases, you know, there's been plenty. I've kind of run the gamut from just, you know, lights in the sky at night to full out abduction to, daylight discs. You know, I've kind of been sort of all over where I live in Canada, you know, all over the province, kind of talking to people and chasing UFOs, quote unquote. You know, I've had a few interesting ones. I think I've only closed one as an actual unknown. So I wouldn't say I've had sort of anything that to me was mind-bogglingly, you know, unknowable. They usually turn out to be pretty prosaic. You know, and then you deal with sort of the people who make abduction claims. And you know, I have to be honest, I'm a skeptic, but I'm a romantic skeptic. So I'll believe sort of the story in a sense that, you know, I'm sure it happened. You know what I mean? Like, in my heart, I'll believe it, I guess. But, you know, I also look at it as we have to sort of be intelligent about this, right? We have to sort of assess properly what's going on, and do you have evidence to support your claims? And, you know, obviously not. And, I mean, otherwise I'd be a millionaire. So, yeah, it was an interesting experience. Can I end it with that? It was an interesting experience. MUFON was interesting. It's complicated. Let's put it that way.
You know what? I'm getting some irritating connotations here about MUFON. And I have to tell you before we go on, we have had some shows about MUFON where we see them in a less than favorable light. So we have, for example, this gentleman who very deep into MUFON. He was one of the co-hosts of the Hangar One TV show.
Yeah.
And he was writing white nationalist racist stuff on Facebook.
Yeah.
And they were reluctant, decidedly reluctant, to let him go. In fact, one person or some people were called haters. And it turned out this guy was among this group of people who had given at least $5,000 in donations to MUFON.
Right.
And I hate to think that one's status is cemented by the money, regardless of their personal viewpoints or offensive behavior. Now, the thing to point out here is you're entitled to your beliefs. But when you make beliefs that are so polarizing and could be considered hate speech, and you're associated with an organization that wants to be taken seriously as a scientific research organization, there's a serious disconnect. But we'll have more to say in maybe MJ's response about the things that are left unsaid about MUFON. We have MJ Benias, co-host Kurt Collins. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know, the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
We use cell phones against our heads every day, but now a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Sounds like you've been practicing, MJ. By the way, MJ has nothing to do with the MJ-12 documents. I want to make sure we understand that.
We were talking about MUFON, and so you mentioned that you had recently resigned. Now, I saw, before it vanished, there were a number of comments to the directors of MUFON's message, his non-apology. And you announced that you would be stepping down unless steps were taken. And before I let you pick up from there, apparently John Bentry, at least from what I understand, there had been a number of problems. I remember when he claimed the missing Malaysian airliner was abducted by aliens, and he seemed insensitive to the fact that that could offend the families of the victims, and it just seems to me like the fact that he was still with MUFON was a symptom of a problem, and it was only this issue that brought things to a head.
Yeah, The situation with John Ventry was really, I think for MUFON, it's tough to find the words here. It really did, I think, a lot of damage for them, only because I think in general, and I'm speaking in general here because I think we can find examples of people who definitely don't follow this sort of ideology, but I think in general, people who exist within sort of the UFO culture, right? The UFO community are generally sort of forward thinking people. I mean, yeah, I have to be honest, if you sort of believe that there's aliens out there, or if you believe there's, you know, interdimensional beings or beings of light, or you believe in sort of the mysticism of the UFO issue or whatever, you know, typically it's difficult to then sort of be racist. You know what I mean? Like how can you be, you have an issue with other human beings when, you know, you have this belief system in some sort of intelligent other that isn't human, right? And for sure, you know, you're always going to have people within a community that differ from this norm. But I think the norm predominantly for sort of people within the UFO community is sort of they're typically progressive. They're typically, you know, a little more liberal leaning, typically a little more left wing. Because again, you know, they believe in aliens. I think Ventry and his comments, and then sort of MUFON standing by him in a sense, but they did, by standing by Ventry, they definitely, you know, to find a better word, they alienated a significant portion of sort of the UFO community, especially those who are sort of a little more left of center. You know, freedom of speech is a wonderful thing, but people are still going to take offense to what you say, especially in a public atmosphere like that. And, you know, ultimately, I think the director of MUFON he sort of bungled it a little bit when he kind of called everyone who was attacking Ventry for his racist comments and basically calling him out on being a racist, when he sort of referred to all of those people as haters. You know, Harzin is ultimately then, he's not necessarily supporting Ventry in his comments, and I'm sure Mr. Harzin is not a racist, but why would you sort of defend him in openly like that? And then not only say, you know, we apologize for his, like, he didn't say we apologize for his comments, and then he moved on to then say, you know, all of you who have problems with him are haters, you know, so he sort of did the double sin here of, you know, PR, which is a shame, because, I mean, MUFON just paid a whole lot of money to a PR firm to change their image, and I'm just wondering, you know, what they spent all that money on, because they apparently didn't do a great job, you know, training Mr. Harzin on what to say in a situation like this.
You know, I just wonder how much money they're wasting for a PR firm. Supposedly they're using their money, other than paying their executives and publishing the magazine and all that stuff, they're using the money you give to do UFO research, not hire PR firms, because remember, PR firms aren't cheap.
No, they certainly are not. And they burn money fast. You know, that's the other thing. You don't get a lot for the money that you do spend. Yeah. Sorry, was somebody going to say something? I just heard.
No, but let's finish the thought with, so how did your break with MUFON come to be?
You know, it definitely did have a lot to do with this situation. I, you know, again, I'm Canadian. So, you know, the whole population of Canada leans slightly left of center compared to, you know, the United States. But so for me, you know, that was definitely one aspect of my sort of separation from MUFON. I think I also have ideological problems with MUFON. I think, you know, Kurt, you asked sort of before, you know, about the Field Investigator's Manual and how it sort of differs from my philosophy in a sense. And I think that, you know, MUFON has been operating, you know, for quite some time, and it hasn't really, it doesn't have sort of much to show for itself. So I think that that is one issue I have. I think that, you know, for something that has been in existence for as long as it has been, to not be able to sort of provide, you know, this is why, you know, MUFON exists. They can't really give us sort of these unbelievable case that they've investigated and have sort of proven that something strange is going on beyond the shadow of a doubt. And that's really the whole UFO discourse overall. You know, there is no evidence for anything really, but I guess there's pieces, but MUFON hasn't really achieved greatness, and they've had a lot of time to do it, and it's, I almost feel like MUFON is sort of shrinking rather than growing. And I think, you know, I don't know the numbers on the most recent sort of symposium from 2016, but, you know, are numbers down? You know, if they are, I think this is just sort of evidence of sort of MUFON shrinking. I know they struggle to find field investigators, especially in Canada. So, because no one's heard of them, but, you know, I think that that's kind of one problem I had with it. I also have a problem with the fact that MUFON currently does not know itself. It was a scientific organization. It touts itself as a scientific organization, but it does everything but being a scientific organization. And I think the most recent topic that it's hosting at the symposium this year is, I think, the secret space program. And I would argue, as a scientific organization, you know, where is this data coming from? Like, where is the science behind the secret space program that you're presenting on? Or where is the facts? Where is the smoking gun evidence that suggests there is a secret space program, apart from just kind of the typical UFO sort of people who just pitch ideas, you know, and take these leaps of logic from, you know, a simple, you know, conspiracy to, you know, we're building massive space stations and we're using, you know, a reversed alien technology to build ships. So again, you know, I struggle with MUFON's inability to find its place, within the UFO community. It's kind of all over the world right now or all over the place rather. And, it just can't focus on what it needs to do, and I think that's a problem.
The thing I see with MUFON is when they hold these symposiums, and this is true also with the state directors and the local sessions, what they are doing is filling seats. That's the main focus. Let's get wacky guests. Doesn't matter. We're not going to vet them. I'll give you one example here. Some time back, 2-3 years ago, I was looking for a guest and had a MUFON state director, I think from Missouri. And if I'm wrong, you know, shoot me later. So she's mentioning this forthcoming meeting. I said, sure, go ahead. And she's going to have Michael Horn on, and he's the American representative for Billy Meyer.
Right.
And I said, do you know who Billy Meyer is? Do you know anything about it? No. And I sent her a bunch of information, and Michael Horn, to her credit, was disinvited. Now, this is the problem. They'll bring people into some of these sessions, and it's certainly true with the national conference. They don't care whether these people have solid information to offer. It's a commercial enterprise. The same thing with the Hangar One TV show, where Hangar One was, as reality shows go, probably worse than many, because it pointed to alleged evidence and documents that did not exist. Now, I know we've had stories on the show here about the UFO Hunter show, which was on for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
And featured Bill Burns, late of UFO Magazine, and the co-author of The Day After Roswell with Colonel Philip Corso. And, you know, he's a good storyteller. I hope to have him back on. He's a lot of fun. But this show was nonsensical. They have a real case, and then they go off the deep end. We've got more to come. MJ Banias, not all about MUFON. We're going to get off it in a moment. Kurt Collins is our guest co-host. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space, and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.